And turn to your Bibles, please, now to Genesis chapter 45. 45th chapter of Genesis. We'll be reading responsively verses 1 through 7. The first seven verses of this 45th chapter of the first book of the Bible. And let's stand, please, as we together participate in the reading of God's Word. Once again, reading the verses responsively. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest." And together also on the seventh verse, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And let's pray. Father, we surely are grateful that we have a Bible, that it's your word, and that it's really all we need. And thank you for not only the fact that we have the privilege of having a copy, but that we can come to this place week by week and hear it faithfully preached. We pray thy blessing tonight upon the preacher, upon us as we take care to listen, and keep us alert and help us to grasp that which thou dost have for us tonight. And someone here needs exactly what said. We all need it. Someone especially needs it. We pray that thou wouldst bless now with thy Spirit's power in Jesus' name. Amen.
In a couple of weeks from next Friday, the last of the Hiles young'uns will leave home to be kidnapped by selfish hands. And along with that comes some memories, of course, times of reflection. Tonight I'd like to take you to the bedside of Becky, our oldest child, when she was just a little girl, just not far past the baby age, with a new little brother that had just gotten old enough to cause trouble. And he's been causing trouble ever since. I'd like to take you to Becky's bedside tonight. I'm going to take an old truth. For there is no truth but an old truth. I'm going to take an old truth, and I'm going to put it in a new dress tonight. And I'm going to speak to you on a bedtime story. You'll let me talk to you about a bedtime story. Just a new vehicle for an old truth. Father, bless the service and help me and help my people to get the truth. May this added, different approach of this truth that is so needed now and always, may it be used of the Holy Spirit in this hour. Amen. When the children were little, I was always the storyteller. No, I'm not a big liar. I was always the storyteller. And I've always had a childlike or a childish imagination. I was out in Norfolk, Virginia, good night. This has been 23 or 24 years ago, I guess. I was preaching for a few days out there, and I stayed in the home of the pastor. And he has little boys. I don't know how old. I want to guess 4, 5, 6 years of age. Had two or three of them. We're sitting there at the evening meal. We're having meal, and I noticed that the boys weren't eating their collard greens. To me, collard greens is really what fell from heaven every morning when the Israelites were in the wilderness, pressed into a little tablet, placed in water, would blossom into beautiful collard greens. There's nothing better than collard greens. If you don't like collard greens, just get out of this church. And that's good preaching, ain't it, Brother Perry? That's what gives you and me so much soul. We like that soul food, boy. And especially if you put some salt bacon in it, after, and then fry the bacon a little first and pour the grease over it. It's called ulcer fertilizer. And we're sitting at the table, and these little boys weren't touching their collard greens. I said to the pastor and his wife, I said, your boys don't eat collard greens. And she said, oh, we have the hardest time. They just will not eat their greens. And some of you would think that's a sign of intelligence, refinement, and culture. I feel sorry for you folks that go down to the store and buy turnip greens and take the greens, throw them away, and eat the turnips. I haven't got much sense, but I got enough sense to eat that which is shown, not the roots. Anyhow, I said to the pastor and his wife, I said, that's too bad, because they can't belong to the club. One of the boys said to the other, said, what club? I said, I would hate that, because I was hoping that they could join the club. The boy punched me and said, Brother House said, what club? I said, Collard Greens International. Everybody knows that. He said, where they meet? I said, they meet everywhere. I said, in fact, we could organize a chapter right here in your home. I said, I have special permission from the governing committee, that's me, and I said, organize a chapter. The boy said, what you got to do to join? I said, eat your collard greens every meal. Boy, he started eating. He ate all the collard greens on his plate and got some more, and other kids did the same thing. Now I was stuck. I had to organize a club, and so we organized. We elected officers. I was president, and if I'm not the captain, I won't play. And so I was the president, and we called it the Collard Greens International. And the colors of our club were green and white. And we had some songs, and we, I was there 5 days. We met every day. We had some cheers. Yay, green. Yay, white. Those that eat collard greens can really fight. We thought we'd be original. And a few months ago, I was preaching, maybe a year or two ago now, and a good-looking young man walked up to me, and he said, Dr. Howes, remember me? I said, no, sir. He said, you preached for my dad one time, Norfolk, Virginia. I said, I still don't know you. And he grinned, and he said, I'm a charter member of the Norfolk chapter of the Collard Greens International Club. You know, it's an amazing thing. There are ways to get children to do things besides reminding them that you fed them when they were little and clothed them when they were small and you've loved them all through these years. You don't appreciate your old mom and dad. There are other ways. I don't know what they are, but I'm sure there must be some. Becky came running over to me, and she said, Daddy, he got my toy and broke it. And then she turned around to Dave and stuck her tongue out of it. Dave sucking his thumb because he sucked his thumb till he was married. Now he wished he'd kept on sucking his thumb. And Becky got furious. He got my toy and broke it. You've heard that millions of times, haven't you? And so Becky wouldn't speak to David. Acted sort of like Baptist deacons and school teachers and choir members and Sunday school teachers. And she wouldn't speak to David. So because of that, David wouldn't speak to her. And all day long, she was furious at David. In fact, she even tried to fight him. That night, I did what I've done a few times for each of the children. I told them a bedtime story, and I'm going to tell it to you tonight. I used to tell bedtime stories every night when I was home. My mother told them to me, not the same ones, just different. She taught different lies from the ones I taught. But I'd make up a story. Or I'd take a Bible story and add to it, you know, my imagination, which made it nothing but plain old pure liberalism. But it was interesting, as liberalism always is. That night, as I did on a few occasions, I used this story. Becky, would you like me to tell you a story, bedtime story? And boy, the kids all liked the bedtime story. They like, because I acted them out. I mean, I did. I acted them out. If I was the fellow that got beaten on the Jericho Road and was helped with the Good Samaritan, I'd fall down there and stagger, fall down there and lock it. And then I'd become the priest. I'd act that. And all the kids, did they ever love? I told my grandbaby Trina and Teresa, one when they were here last time, and Linda and Cindy, where I heard it, almost cried because they're remembering when they used to hear the same little stories, you know, when they were kids. I said, Becky, I'm going to tell you a bedtime story. Boy, she'd sit up in bed and listen like that, eyes would get open. And I'd say, Becky, I said, Becky, one time there was a young man, and he was a good-looking young man. He was real handsome. In fact, he was good looking. He would look sort of like my daddy. That's right. That's exactly right. And I said he was real strong. Muscles and strong young man. Who was he like? Like my daddy. That's right. You're right. That's part of that liberalism I was talking about a while ago. And he was the favorite son of his father. You know what his dad did? His dad went down one time and got him a coat that all the colors he could think of and put it in that coat and brought that coat and gave it to his son. Oh, his daddy liked his child. His daddy liked his children. Who else likes their children? Like my daddy! And I said, that's right. And I said, but you know what that made? Because his daddy liked him so much, that made his brothers mad at him. And they didn't like him. They got jealous and they got mad. They'd stick their tongue. You don't know anybody to stick their tongue out at their brother. No, 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 no. And because the daddy said to the brothers, you shouldn't stick your tongue out at each other. And that's right. Isn't that right, Becky? That's right. You shouldn't ever stick your tongue. No. Would you ever stick your tongue out? No, no, no. I know some bad girls that do, but I know my girl would never do that to her brother. No, no. It's wonderful that children have a short memory, isn't it? And I think she meant that she never had done it because, after all, a memory of a child only goes back several hours. and sometimes a little child. And so I said, you know what they did, those brothers did? They got so jealous one day, they kept up on their brother, and they tiptoed behind him, and they got him! And he said, let me go, let me go! And they said, we're not going to let you go! Hey, let me go! We're not going to let you go! Let me go! We're not going to let you go! And I said, they got him, and one of them said, we're going to give you what you deserve. We're going to kill you. Becky, isn't that awful to think that a brother would hate another brother, or a sister would hate a brother? That's awful. And I said, they were going to kill him. But you know what they did? They found somebody wanted to buy him. And Becky, they sold their brother for 20 little old coins. They sold their brother. Would you like to sell your brother? But Becky, they took him, these folks that bought him, took him away from his home. Can you imagine, Becky, your brother been taken from our home and never coming back again? He went to a foreign country. Have you ever been to a foreign country? No, sir. Would you like to go to a foreign country? No, sir. Well, they took him way, way, way away. They traveled and 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 they traveled, and they traveled. Way, way out in the foreign country. And the country was the country of Egypt. Can you say that, Becky? Egypt. That's right, Egypt. And you know what happened to him? What happened to him? You know that he worked hard and he got promoted. And you know, he became one of the most important people in the whole country. And you know what he was in charge of? He was in charge of the food. Wouldn't you like to be in charge of the food? I'd like to be in charge of the food. I'd like to be in charge of the food too. And so, I said, you know what happened, Becky? His brothers thought he was dead. And one time, back home, way back yonder, where his brothers live, you know what happened? You know, they didn't have any food to eat. There was no food in the refrigerator. There's no food in the cabinet. There's no food at the grocery store. There was no food in the house next door. And nobody had any food. And they got hungry. And they got weak. And they got where they walked like this. And they got skinnier and skinnier and skinnier and skinnier and skinnier. And they were starving to death. And one of the brothers said, and the father said, they got plenty of food in Egypt. That's where their brother lived. Where did the brother live? In Egypt. That's right. And they didn't know where he was. And they went to Egypt, and the brother found out about the fact that they were hungry. And do you know, he gave his brother some food and forgave them for what they did. Oh, Becky, they tried to kill him, but he forgave them. He said, I'm not going to hate you. And Becky, they sold him for 20. He didn't live at home anymore. He couldn't see his daddy anymore. Would you like to never see your daddy again? No, I'd like to see my daddy. I don't want to beg it. He didn't get to see his daddy, and he didn't get to see his own country or go to his own church, and he was way, way, way off. But he forgave them, even though they tried to kill him and though they sold him. I said, Becky, isn't that a wonderful, wonderful story? And she said, yes. And I said, let me tell you another story. One time there was a man. He was a smart man. He was a good Christian. His name was Abraham. And Abraham had a nephew. You know what a nephew is? Huh? A nephew is what David is to Aunt Een. Aunt Een, that's my old sister. And Earlene, they call her Aunt Een. And like David is to Aunt Een, a nephew. And did you know that this man took his nephew into his house, and he fed him, and he clothed him, and he was so good to him, and he taught him, and he made him like his own son. Isn't that something? Yeah, that really is something. And do you know what that fellow did? One day, that fellow got mad at his uncle who had taken care of him.
And he said, I want what's mine. I want what's mine. I want to leave home.
You never would want to leave home, would you? No, I never want to leave home. She did. And that fella kidnapped her and took her away. But no, I wouldn't want to leave home. You're going to live at home all your life, aren't you? Yeah, that's right. You'd never grow up, would you? No, I'd never grow up. You promise, Daddy, you'll never grow up? I promise I'll never grow up. And by the way, in case you do accidentally forget and grow up, you'd never get married, would you, and leave Daddy? No, I'd never get married. No, you wouldn't leave home. No, you promise me? I'll never get married. Broke that promise. You broke yours, too, fella. He left. You know that? I said his uncle had been so good to him that he took care of him and fed him. And yet he left. But I said, you know what his uncle did? What? His uncle forgave him. I said, isn't that wonderful? His nephew stole from him and didn't appreciate him and left his home and took the best things his uncle had. But his uncle said, I love you, Lot, and I don't want you to be mad, and I don't want us to have any trouble. You just take what's yours. And Abraham forgave him. And I said, isn't that wonderful? And she said, yes, it is. And I said, you know what, Becky? One time, there was a boy that was strong. You know what he did? He took a bear, a big bear, and he killed that bear with his own bear hand. And he killed. Becky, could you kill a bear with your hand? No. Do you know, down to the zoo, Becky, they have those big bears like that. Yeah. Did you know, Becky, that could you kill? No. Would you like to get inside the cage with a bear and wrestle it? No. If you can, if you want to. No, I don't want to. I said, you know what happened? He killed a lion. A one-armed lion. And I said, Becky, he was a wonderful Christian boy. But he was strong. And you know what he did one time? He killed a giant. With a slingshot. That's not what we called him, but a slingshot. He killed him. Sorry about that, Gerald. But I don't want to say what it was we called him, but you black friends don't ever get around any of them, I'll tell you for sure. He took that slingshot, and he saw this giant. Becky, you know how big this giant was? Oh, he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. You know how tall that is? Oh, it's taller than Daddy. And it's taller, way taller than Daddy. And way up here, and way up there. See that ceiling up there? Yeah. It's taller than that ceiling. He was taller than that ceiling. Oh. And the giant went, oh! And everybody, how would you like for a giant to be out in our yard? No. You want to hear it? This little fellow said, I'll get him! He's causing trouble with my nation. He took that slingshot. He got 5 stones, put 1 stone in that thing. Wah! He threw that thing real hard, and the giant was laughing. Ah, you can't get... I said, Becky, he killed the giant. He did. I said, aren't you glad that giant's killed and can't come to our house? Yeah, I really am. But I said, you know what happened? There was a king whose name was King Saul. And King Saul got jealous of David because they're singing a song. It went like this. Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands. And she thought I was a good singer. I said, Becky, who's the best singer in the whole world? My daddy is the best singer in the whole world. That's right. Again, you're right. And so she outgrew that feeling. But I said to Becky, I said, this King Saul got mad at David because they were singing a song about David and making him a big shot. And I said, King Saul, and the king said, he's going to take my throne. He's going to become the king. I'll kill him. And you know what he did, Becky? He took a javelin. A javelin's a big, long, old sword.
and he said, I'll get him. And he saw him, and he threw. Watch out, Miss Colston. And he threw that javelin, and David saw it coming. Hey! David dodged, and the javelin went right back there in the back row of the choir. And kill Mrs. Graves in the back row of the choir. he tried to kill him. Becky, he hated him. He tried to kill him. And he tried again. And he tried again. And he tried again.
But you know what that one, Becky, one day happened? One day, Becky, David was hiding from this king who was going to kill him. And one day he saw that king asleep. Turn this up, please. He saw that king asleep. Sound asleep. And the king was snoring. And David walked up, and there that king was, laying right down there, snoring. And David said, that's the fellow who's been trying to kill me. He threw a javelin at me. He tried to kill me. And Becky, do you know what David did? He pulled his sword! What did he do? He wouldn't hurt him. Don't snore now. You leave all the acting up to me. You just lay there and be dead. Or asleep. Becky, do you know what he did? What? He forgave him. Can you imagine, Becky? Forgiving somebody when they tried to kill you? Can you imagine forgiving somebody like Joseph did when they sold him? Can you imagine, Becky, forgiving somebody when they have gone off and left you and taken the best? No. Well, Becky, that's the story. You can get up now, David. Saul. Sorry. I said, Becky, there's another part of the story. I said, you know what happened? I said, that man David had a son. He was little, like David. And he was a good boy like David, too. Isn't David a good boy? And I said, Becky, this son was a little bitty fella, but he kept growing because he ate his vegetables. He ate his carrots and his collard greens. And he ate his beans, and he ate his salad, and he drank his milk, and he got bigger, and he grew, 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 and he became big and strong like a... Who is it big and strong? My daddy. That's right. And he became real handsome. The handsomest man probably in the young man in the entire country. He was handsome. Who would it be like? My daddy. That's right. Isn't it wonderful that you can brainwash your kid? I can still see David across the street when he was 5 years old out here in Munster telling a little kid over there, my daddy could lick yours with his hands tied behind him. Oh, brother, I couldn't have licked the guy with four hands untied. But isn't it wonderful that somebody thinks you're the strongest man in the world? And isn't it wonderful that somebody thinks you're the handsomest man? Isn't it wonderful somebody thinks you're the greatest lady in the whole world? Oh, the responsibility, oh, the obligation that's ours on our shoulders because these little ones think so much of us. Becky, one day, that man's son said, I'm going to fight my dad. I'm going to get me an army and go to war. And I'm going to take over the country. And David, his heart broke. And he said, I love my son, and I don't want my son to fight, and I don't want to fight him. And David packed one day, got his suitcase out, and he packed everything in his suitcase that he could. And he left the country. He wouldn't fight against his own son. I said, Becky, you know what he did? What? He forgave him. That's what he did. I said, Becky? And all the kids say a little thing. I want to hear another story. Tell me another story. Another story, Daddy. She's trying to postpone the inevitable of going to sleep, you know. And I'd say, okay, I just have one more. One time, there was a little girl. And she was the prettiest thing. She had golden ringlets all over her hair. And her daddy loved her very, very, very much. And her daddy was so proud.
proud of her because she was a good girl. And her daddy told her bedtime stories every night. And her name was? She said, Becky. That's right. How did you know her name? Her name was Becky. And I said, the awfulest thing happened. One day, a brother came to live in that house. And that's the worst thing that could ever happen to a little girl, is a brother to come. And her brother, do you know what he did one day? No. One day, he tiptoed up, and he got in her toy box, and he got one of her toys. And he ran outside with it. And he broke it. And I said, a little girl came running to her daddy. And Daddy! Daddy! He broke my toy! And his name was? David. And I said, Becky, is it worse? Is it worse to kill somebody or to break a toy? Worse to kill somebody? Is it worse to sell somebody for 20 pieces of coin? Or is it worse to break a toy? It's worse to sell your brother. What did Joseph do to those that sold him and tried to kill him? He forgave. I see. I wonder what that little girl ought to do about her brother. Well, Daddy, he broke it. Becky, is it worse to throw a javelin or a big sword at somebody and try to kill them or break a toy?
Well, Daddy, it's worse to throw a sword and try to kill them.
Oh. I said, and what did David do to this fellow who tried to kill him?
Forgave him.
Oh, I see. What would you advise a girl to do whose brother broke a toy?
Do I have to?
Becky, is it worse to steal your uncle's best things he has and go off and leave him and hate him when he's reared you and fed you and clothed you? Is it better to steal? Which is worse, that or break a toy?
It's worse to steal.
She wasn't enjoying her story very much now. And I said, what did Abraham do?
He forgave him.
I said, I'll be interested to find out the rest of the story about the little girl and the toy. I said, Becky, do you like Christmas? Yes, sir. I said, there's a special day every year we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. And it's called what? It's called Christmas. I said, do you know what Easter is?
Yes, sir.
That's the day we get a new dress. And I said, that's right. But it also has an insignificant meaning also. It's also the day that we remember that Jesus rose from the dead. I said, Becky, you know what Thanksgiving is?
Yes, sir.
That's the day we thank Jesus for all he's done for us. Becky, I said, there's another holiday. I said, have you ever heard about this other holiday? And she said, what holiday is that? My birthday?
No.
I said, it's a special holiday. It's called Forgiveness Day. It's a special holiday. And I said, on that holiday, we sing a special song. Happy Forgiveness Day to you. Happy Forgiveness Day to you. Happy Forgiveness Day, dear Becky and David. Happy Forgiveness Day to you. And I said, we sing, joy to the world, forgiveness comes. Let Becky forgive her brother.
Let every broken toy be forgiven completely. And Becky and David rejoice. And Becky and David rejoice. And Becky and David and rejoice. I said, that's what you call forgiveness day. And I said, would you like to have... And I said, would you like to have a forgiveness day? And, yes, sir. I said, the way it starts is we call David in. You want to call him in?
Yes, sir.
Forgiveness day. Dave! He comes in. Son, I said, Becky has something she wants to say to you. Don't you, Becky? She had the same trouble with those two words you have. Because the same devil is trying to keep her from saying them, it tries to keep you from saying them. Becky, you don't have to say it if you don't want to. Because if you don't want to have National Forgiveness Day where we serve refreshments, ice cream, and cake, we don't have to have National Forgiveness Day if you don't want to. Well, I want to have National Forgiveness Day. Well, what are the secret words? I'm sorry! By the way, I know another bedtime story, too. One time there was a parent who had a child in Hammond Baptist grade school. Probably several of them. And one day a teacher who means well and doesn't make very much money made a mistake with the child. And the parent was furious and took off for the school. Went up there and said, my child's been mistreated. And the teacher may have mistreated the child, but the teacher was tired, like all of us are tired, and just like sometimes a mother goose it on a meal and burns the meat, sometimes a teacher burns the spelling or burns the history. And the story goes on that the mother has something in her heart against the teacher. Maybe we ought to have a National Forgiveness Day. Huh? And the last part of that story goes like this. The teacher said, why don't you leave the teaching to me? Now, this wasn't said out loud. It was said at home, in the heart, or to the husband, or to the wife, or the children. Oh, that old devil came up there and she tried to run my business. She ought to stand beside the teacher. And the teacher has a little bitterness in her heart. You reckon we ought to have a National Forgiveness Day? Huh? You reckon maybe at the close of school while we're taking inventory? You reckon maybe the teachers who have ill will toward some student, maybe. Maybe some grudge toward a student. Maybe some teacher could even have it in for a student. Or maybe some parent could say, I'll be glad when my child has another teacher and gets out of that teacher's room. Reckon we ought to have a National Forgiveness Day? Huh? Reckon the teacher ought not to, at the end of the school year, get on his knees or on her knees and ask God to forgive? Or reckon the parent ought not to let school end without getting his heart right? I'm not saying you need to go to the teacher and apologize. You may or may not do that. I'm saying that it'd be a good thing for us to have a National Forgiveness Day. Let me tell you another bedtime story. One time there was a young lady and she went to a college. She went to the best college in the whole world. You know what that is? Hiles Anderson. Yeah, that's right. Best college in the whole world. And they put her in a telephone booth to sleep with 14 girls.
She had a shared a bed with four girls, each one had their own pillow. Did you know that they stayed in that room, maybe four or five or six girls in one little room, about 10 by 10? As the bedtime story goes, they stayed there for 9 months. And it snowed. And it snowed, and it snowed, and it snowed. And the snow came down, and the banks came up. And the snow came down, and the drifts came up. And the snow came down, and the tempers came up. And you know they couldn't get outside. The worst winter, did you know that? The worst winter that they ever had in that area. And they wanted to get outside and play, but they couldn't go outside and play. And they wanted to go outside and walk around the lake, but they couldn't find the lake. And they wanted to have some fun, but they stayed in there, in that little old bitty room. And do you know, one of those girls was so hard to get along with. Oh, she was exasperating. And do you know what happened? Some of those girls didn't get along. And do you know, school is almost out. And do you know, if those girls don't get right in a hurry, do you know they may go through their entire lives without ever having a chance to get right? You reckon we need to have a national forgiveness day? You reckon we need to say, so I didn't mean to be that way, but you reckon it may have been, you reckon that girl might have been a pretty good girl after all, but they just got sort of cabin fever there and stayed inside so long and couldn't get out, and they went outside and they froze to death. It was 185 below zero, and the discomfort index was 2,000 below zero, and the snow was 84 feet deep, and they had to go out and work on those dumb buses, and the buses wouldn't run. And they went out to Chicago and they froze to death and they got frostbite and every other kind of bite and chigger bite and lice bite and you reckon maybe they just got a little on the outs and a little edgy and a little nervous, and she said, you just ought to be, and you reckon they got fussy? Yeah. You reckon maybe there ought to be a National Forgiveness Day? Huh? I know another story. I know a story about a bus worker who didn't get appreciated, and who said, I'm just going to quit the bus ministry. Nobody appreciates me. Let somebody else do it. And you know, I know some bus workers that don't like other bus workers, or some of the leaders. Reckon we ought to have a National Forgiveness Day. Or reckon maybe somebody at the high school didn't get along. Reckon there might be some student at the high school that doesn't like a particular teacher. Reckon? Huh? You reckon maybe some high school student might not like Mr. Weber? I just picked out the one that's the least liked, the most unlovable. Or reckon some student crossed his legs in Mr. Smith's class and got it? Huh? And you can't, I can't get out until I get out of that class. I declare, if I never see you again, that's too soon. I reckon maybe we ought to have a National Forgiveness Day. Joy to the world, forgiveness reigns. Let students forgive their teachers. Forgiving night, patient night. All is calm, all is right. Reckon? Happy Forgiveness Day to you. By the way, all forgiveness days are happy. You'll never in your life, the choir sang a while ago, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. The nearest you'll ever come to being like Jesus is that day when you have been wronged. You have been right. And somebody has done something against you. They mistreated you. And they were wrong, and you know it! And you came to the place to where you said, I'll forgive, and I'll forget. At that moment, you enter the nearest into the heart of Christ and the life and work of Christ that you'll ever enter in your life. And now, Becky, before you go to sleep, I want to tell you the last story.
One time there was a lady, pure, sweet. She heard she's going to have a baby. But she said, how can I have a baby? I'm not even married. But Becky, she had a baby. She put him in a manger. He became the best man that ever lived. He never lost his temper. Never had envy or jealousy in his heart. He was always perfect. Becky never sinned one time. He never broke a toy that belonged to his sister. Never got mad at his brother. But I said, Becky, do you know what happened? This perfect man, people took him and drove nails in his hands. Would you like to have nails in your hands? No, sir. They drove nails in his hands and drove nails in his feet and put some thorns together and made a hat of thorns and pulled those thorns down till blood rolled down his face, and they took a big old sword and they stuck it in his side and cut in, and his side began to bleed with water and blood, and they put him on a cross, slapped him and laughed at him and mocked him. You know what they had there that day? What? They had a forgiveness day. The greatest forgiveness day the world has ever seen. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We're about to enter the summertime. May I say this? The hardest time to pastor a church is summertime. People's feelings are on their sleeves. They're edgy. It's hot. They're not as faithful to church because of vacations and trips and so forth. Listen, folks. Listen. We cannot afford to enter summertime with hurt feelings against each other. We can't do it. We must not enter the weakest time of a church's life. We cannot do it. We must not do it. Listen, if you enter into summertime with bitterness and animosity and hurt feelings, listen to me, if you enter summertime with hurt feelings, I'm afraid with a natural tendency to grow cold, I'm afraid it may be the start to a serious time of backsliding. I beg you, don't do it. That isn't all. We're about to say goodbye. I've wept some over it. I wish I'd go to sleep right now and wake up after graduation. I hate to see these wonderful people who've been with us 4 years, who've become such a vital part of our lives. I hate to see them leave. Let's don't part company with anything against anybody. Let's have a national forgiveness day. Let's make it right. Look, folks. Somebody said, well, but there's a certain kid at the grade school or junior high or high school, and boy, that kid did thus and so, and I just don't agree with that at all. And I don't think the kid was done right, or I think the kid wasn't done right enough, or I think the kid didn't get enough punishment or got too much punishment. I understand that. As long as human beings be human beings, we're going to differ. We're not going to agree. But even though we don't agree, in God's name, we can say what the Savior said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'd always wanted to go to Calvary. I'd always wanted to someday. I never dreamed I would. But I'd wanted to see the Holy Land. And one day we went. And I looked up at that little barren hill, Gordon's Calvary, shape of a skull. Look at it carefully. You can see the eyes and you can see the nose and the mouth that not drawn there, but God put them there. On top is a cemetery. And I knelt and looked at Calvary. Dr. Bob Jones Jr. was our tour guide. I didn't know it, but everybody left but me, and I kept looking at Calvary. And tears streaming down my cheeks. And I sat down there alone and stopped to realize that very hill, that's the very spot where my Lord had his forgiveness day. And I sang as best I could,
years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. At the cross where I first saw the light. On a hill far away is there no rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Dr. Bob said, Dr. Hiles, the bus is loaded. We've got to go. I couldn't go. I'd often wondered what I'd think if I knelt at Calvary and actually saw the place. Never had thought about what I'd think. But here's the thought. Pierced my mind, and I couldn't get away from it. And this is the prayer I prayed. The last prayer I prayed is right before I left. Dear God, if Jesus could forgive me after all I did, help me never to hate anybody else as long as I live. I'm not perfect. Stubborn, I'm impetuous. I have weaknesses because I'm human, and I think I'm far too human. But God knows this is true. He knows it's true. There is not a creature on the face of God's earth that this heart feels ill toward tonight. And that's true, and God in heaven knows it's true. I'm 52. I'll be 53 in September. That means if I have my 70, I've got 17 and a half years left. I don't have a single day I want to waste with hatred. A lot of folks don't like me. Everybody in this room has heard me cuss and discuss and criticize. That's why this pulpit is bulletproof. A lot of folks won't speak to me. I had a funeral the other day. Folks sat in the funeral. Made faces at me while I preached a funeral and tried to comfort some people. A lot of folks spit. I've been spat on right here in this town. I mean, like that in my face. A lot of preachers don't like me. I'll be honest. I don't know why. I don't hate anybody. And if I did, I'd sing tonight. Happy Forgiveness Day to you. Happy Forgiveness Day to you. Becky? Anything you'd like to do? I let you out of bed?
Yes, sir.
Who would you like to hug?
David.
I'm not saying that you ought to go to somebody tonight that you've got a little ill will towards and hug them. Maybe you ought to go to Jesus. If God in heaven can forgive all the things that you and I have done that are wrong and place them beneath the blood and see us as righteous, awful hard for me to understand why we wouldn't love each other. Huh? Anybody? In the dorm room? Teacher at school? Student in your class? Sunday school teacher? This morning was the last day in our classes. Superintendents and teachers wept. Students wept as they had their last day together in classes. Any ill will? How about the choir? How about the deacons? Huh? How about the school pupils? How about the college? How about the staff? Huh? 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 Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to have Forgiveness Day. Forgiveness Day. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.